Coming up on this episode of DO Weekly, a new concept for ears is coming to the resort. Pixar Fest is in full swing. We have the details.
Two locations in downtown Disney have opened with another. There's more up in the air. We talk about our days in the park and more. DO Weekly starts now.
Howdy, partners. For your safety, remain seated with your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast. And be sure to watch your ears. If any of you folks are wearing hats or glasses, best remove them, because Tag and Teresa have the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of May 1st, 2024. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to thank everyone who supports the show. This week, we would like to give a special shout out to Samantha B for becoming a weekly tier and Lane E, Lisa A, Kalia J for your continued support. If you would like to help support the show to make sure that we can keep bringing you the latest news and information, discussion and interviews about Disneyland, head on over to dealweekly.net/support.
Also, be sure to check out, if you are currently a supporter, be sure to check out the post we just posted. For those of you listening, you might start to hear some advertisements that have been added dynamically by a new provider for us. So you might be seeing some of those. If you are a supporter at any of our levels, you do get an ad-free version of the show. So make sure to head on over to dealweekly.net/support. There's a post over there if you're a current supporter on how to add the ad-free feed to your podcast player.
Now let's get to the news.
Fans of Mickey and Minnie Ears, you will want to hear about this new item coming to Disneyland. Custom character headbands, which are already popular in Hong Kong Disneyland, are coming to the original Disneyland park. Guests pick a headband, then choose a mini plush or multiple, then secure the plush to the headband to wear. The Mad Hatter on Main Street and Bing Bongs in Disney California Adventure will carry the new items. How do you feel about this?
This looks so fun and so cute. This has been something that I had my eye on. It was one of those things that I felt when I got a chance to go to Hong Kong. This is such an iconic thing that some of the overseas parks have that we didn't have, that I felt like I would have to do this. However, the only issue being, you know me, I'd have to make decisions, which I'm not necessarily always great with, especially when it comes to Disney.
You just got to buy them all.
But yeah, that's the cool thing, is you can get all of your favorites and then it's the same headband. You just kind of, it looks like you wrap them around. It's not like they snap on. They kind of, but they secure to the headband. So you could have one little plushie or you could have two. I have seen people that have three. The ones at the overseas park, the little plushie things look like they might be smaller. So you could fit potentially more on there. But right now, characters include Mickey and Minnie, Donald and Daisy, Chip and Dale, Winnie the Pooh, Tigger, and Stitch.
But also Buzz Lightyear, Alien, and lots of Huggin' Bear.
Yep. Which is great for Pixar Fest. I'm surprised they didn't focus maybe more on Pixar characters for, since these kind of released with Pixar Fest. But still, very, very fun. I think I saw Kitra from Ordinary Adventures had one on, but she just had three aliens across the top of her head. So I don't know. For some reason, it just made me think like the ooh, like noise. But anyways, very cute.
I actually am excited because these look like you can use them. They're like unisex, like they don't have a bow or anything. I think I might actually try to get the Chip and Dale ones.
Really?
Because I like Chip and Dale. I've been really kind of into them. So maybe when we go, I'll get Chip and Dale. I don't know if James, we'll have to ask James when we get to Trivia Land about Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, well, and you've got Buzz and Lotso and Aliens.
Sure, Stitch is on
here. Stitch, I mean, who doesn't love Stitch?
But I think Chip and Dale are the, of the ones that are available now, Chip and Dale are the ones for me.
Speaking of Chip and Dale, when we were just there, this may not be new, but it was new to us. We saw people that had Chip and Dale shoulder plush buddies, which were so cute.
Ooh, I should get those too.
But how do you choose? Like, all the people we saw
one on each shoulder.
Yeah, all the people we saw with them had one on each shoulder, because how do you choose? They're both so adorable and like better together. I don't know. I thought that was so fun. I love all the different shoulder plushies they're coming out with.
Did we find anywhere like the post on the Disney Parks blog didn't have pricing? Do we have pricing? Do we have
for
any
the
idea?
Headband?
Yeah. Well, for each of the different things. I did see that the shoulder plushes have been something that people have been
not
big into.
So prices for the Create Your Own headband. The headband itself is $9.99, and each mini plush accessory is $11.99. So again, you only need one of the headbands because you can swap out the plush accessories depending on what you want. Unless you, I don't know, want dedicated ones. That would be the only reason you need the one head or more than one headband. But I just... How fun.
But if you could swap them off, yeah, you don't need more than one headband. Maybe if the headband wears out after you've worn it a bunch of times or something like that, or you get sweaty in it or something, I don't know. I'm excited. This is definitely something that we'll have to look at when we're there and see if there's anything that we want to get with these.
So for like a quote-unquote full set of ears, so a headband and two plushes, retail value would be $33.97.
Which is about the cost of a regular set of ears.
Too different than what a typical set of ears costs, correct? Or currently at the parks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Fantasyland Theater is currently home to the Pixar Pals Playtime Party for Pixar Fest. Say that three times fast. The area hosts a range of Pixar characters, including characters from Onward, Luca, Elemental, Up, and more. There are also crafts, a dance party on stage, and great people watching and photo ops. Lots and lots and lots of photo ops here.
I was looking at Mice Chat, who had some photos. First of all, I'm very excited to see Sadness. Is it Sadness?
Yes.
Because she just looks
so... At a dance party.
Did you see her at the dance party? She's like kind of mopey dancing.
Yeah.
I feel like I found my like spirit animal with her because this is totally me like, oh, I guess
I can do it.
But they have Edna Mode out there doing some dance stuff. They've got some great character interactions. Of course, I'm excited for Doug, who talks now.
There's a talking Doug.
Yep. I'm very excited. Of course, I really liked Onward, so seeing the characters from Onward.
And the bus. Not the bus, the van. Guinevere is there as well.
Guinevere. So you
get your photo taken with Guinevere.
We'll talk about that.
And then we have Wade and Ember from Elemental, which is, this is the first time they're meeting in the park, so that's also very, very exciting. And there's also Luca and Alberto meeting and greeting for the first time here as well. So not just one, not two, but there are four new character meet and greets happening at the Pixar Pals Playtime event.
I will say my one criticism of Luca and Alberto is I feel that they're... skin is weird.
Oh, sure. Well,
it
the
seems
other thing-
baggy or it doesn't fit right or something. It sure. And I'm trying to figure out, like, is it because they're such caricature kind of people that they didn't do a face character? Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because I feel like you could have done them as a face character.
Well, the other thing too is like Alberto's got this like opened mouth expression the whole time, so yeah. It looks like he's talking. I think it looks great in a photo, but I think it'd be weird to just see him with this like frozen
hanging out there.
This like open mouth frozen face, whereas Luca just looks adorable. He's got this kind of bashful grin on his face.
Their eyes look amazing.
Yeah, they look very cool. I'm very excited. They're not only are they here for the meet and greet, but you can also see them in the new parade, which we will talk about coming up as well. But this event, I just want to say, I wasn't really sure what this was going to be when they were talking about the, you know, this announcement, but it looks so fun. It looks like a big plussed up like dance party that would be happening at Tomorrowland, but like something that's not just for kids. It looks super fun for adults as well, especially yep. If you're somebody that loves photo ops. There's tons of really cool photo ops in this area, plus all the character meet and greets and the dancing. How fun. How fun.
The only other criticism that I have about this year at Disneyland is I feel like they sat down and they're like, all right, what are some events and seasons we can have this year? And they threw out all these ideas and they said, let's do all of them. Mm. And they're like all over. I don't know. I like that there's a lot going
on,
but at the same time, I feel like you have like 3 years worth of things that you've shoved into 1 year that they could have like spread out and brought people back over and over again, where I feel like right now it's hard because we're lucky that we've picked trips that are overlapping and doing all these things, but it's just like a lot going on, and which is good.
Makes it really exciting for locals, especially because there's always something new going on and always a reason to go back to the parks to check things out. Because right now, currently, like you're saying, we've got Season of the Force still happening, plus the start of Pixar Fest.
We just ended the Food and Wine Fest. Yep. What else, wasn't there something else coming up soon? I thought there was. Well, I guess the next
thing is another foodie guide that's going to be dropping.
It's just, I just feel like lots there's just stuff. So much.
Lots and lots of stuff, yes.
I'm actually very excited about this next one. Weekly Tears, who remember the 50th anniversary of Disneyland, might find this next Pixar Fest game familiar. The resort has disguised 50 Pizza Planet trucks around the resort for guests to find. Guests will need to look everywhere from windows on Main Street to the shooting gallery and more.
I even saw there's spoilers online, of course. There's even some that are like hidden on the parade floats.
Oh, really?
Yes. Like, these are in attractions, in just regular things that you don't have to be on the attraction. They're all over the place. So fun, so creative. Kudos to whoever came up with this. And the other fun and cool thing, too, is they're themed. It's not just the regular Pixar. It's not just the truck just kind of set 50 different places. Mm-hmm. No, it's 50 different themed versions of the Pixar truck. So some of these might be really tough to spot because they may blend in.
For people who don't remember, the 50th anniversary, they hid 50 golden Mickeys all over the parks. Mm-hmm. So they had one like on the Mark Twain. They had one where instead of the spyglass thing that Mr. Toad had, it was one.
Oh.
They had just a bunch everywhere. And it was fun to kind of like, it's kind of like the scavenger hunts for Halloween and for Easter. It just gets you to look for details more, which I really like. And the Pizza Planet truck is so iconic and hidden in like every Pixar movie. So it's kind of like experiencing a Pixar movie around the Disneyland Resort. So these apparently, I think I remember you saying when we were in our hotel room the last night after we had left, that this had started that day and we didn't know it. So we didn't know to look for it. Mm-hmm. And they weren't all out yet either.
Yeah, there was some of them were like trickling out when we were there, but we didn't even, that's how hidden they are. We didn't even notice them.
I'm excited, though.
I'm
glad that this is lasting through our next trip.
Future apologies to our husbands that we're going to probably spend way too much time next trip trying to find all 50 of these Pizza Planet trucks.
I'm going to download a list because I don't mind spoiling.
Don't download a list. I think it'd be fun to just to come about them naturally instead of, you know what I mean? You don't want to be like surprised. Of course not.
I don't care.
Of course you don't.
I'd rather just see all of them.
Sure. Well, some of them, okay, so one of them I saw, spoiler alert if you don't want to be spoiled.
Skip ahead a few seconds.
Is the on the float with that Woody's on in the Pixar Fest parade, he's like standing in a toy dump truck. You have to look back at the float to be able to see it because it's in the dump truck with him.
Okay.
Crazy. Like, was this super hidden?
Was this?
I don't remember where I saw this because I've seen
so many things on
so
Pixar
many
Fest.
Things about the Pixar Fest hidden Pizza Planet trucks all over the place. But sure. One of the things was the parade and it was inside the dump truck. So you had to like, it wasn't even like if you were looking at the, you know, watching the parade come at you. No. You had to watch the float leave to see that one, which is crazy. Well, a couple other parts of Pixar Fest are receiving some mixed reviews. The Better Together Parade has a ton of characters and a lot of energy from the cast, but some say it's a little short, too short, at less than 15 minutes. The floats also, for some, are lackluster. We have not seen this ourselves in person. This is just what other people have been saying. Club Pixar in the Hollywood Studios backlot features cast members inviting guests to dance along with characters. A lot of people kind of felt it was going to be like the Mad Tea Party and there'd be just a DJ back there. So it'd just kind of be a dance party all the time feel. Instead, they felt it was maybe geared a little bit more towards kids with the kind of dance along with the people on the stage and learn the dance moves.
Sure. The parade, from the videos I've seen, reminded me of parts of Magic Happens where the cast who are in this parade are putting amazing amounts of continued energy as they go along. So I have to point that out because all of the non-characters in this parade are jumping around like crazy, and I don't know how they maintain the energy.
It's a long parade route. Yes. So it's a very long parade route.
And honestly, the videos that I watched, I thought it was a perfectly fine parade. Sure, it's not as long as like Magic Happens or whatever, but I still think it's good.
And I was kind of surprised at this report. This is coming from a report that Mice Chat did that it was 15 minutes because just in seeing the different photos. Again, we have not watched the parade live ourselves, just videos and photos that people have shared. But I don't know. It seems like there's a lot. It seems like there's, if it's only 15 minutes, it seems like there's quite a lot packed in 15 minutes, because there are new parade floats, which they did show teasers of leading up to Pixar Fest. So we knew what the new floats were going to be, but there were also returning floats that came originally from the Pixar Play Parade, which was back, 2018, when the most recent Pixar Fest happened. Yeah, so I don't know. I wasn't expecting as many of those older floats to be incorporated into the new parade. So, yeah, so that was good. But anyways,
I also really like the Luca float. Some people don't like the Luca float for whatever reason. I think it's great. Yeah. I think it's cool. Overall, like I said, I think you just got to enjoy the energy.
Exactly.
The only thing that I don't remember the Pixar Play Parade. I don't think I ever saw it or don't remember. I do remember the Incredibles riding on these like hover things. And that was the only thing that stood out to me as obviously reused from a previous parade. But you know what? I will guarantee you the average guest does not care.
Well, and like, so the dump truck that Woody's in, that's a, I don't know, reused float. The up float is also reused, but they're not, I'm not saying they're bad floats. We've just seen them before. So it's like they took the Pixar Play Parade and plussed it with a couple big new floats to showcase the new movies that have come out since. Sure. And the thing I think is really cool about this, because I don't want to leave on a sour note with this parade, because I'm looking forward to it.
You haven't even seen it, but yeah.
But I think that the fact that they're highlighting the brand new Pixar, like those are the things that have the big brand new awesome floats, are the new things. I think that's super, super cool, because we've seen a lot of Toy Story stuff over the years. We've seen a lot of, you know, we've seen a lot of this Up, as much as I love, 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 love Up, there's been a lot of Up stuff, you know, so it's nice to see these new films getting a lot of love and attention.
The
Elemental didn't. I think that one's too new for them to have been able to do a float for, but yeah. Turning Red, that one looks super fun. I've heard nothing but like positive reviews about the Turning Red float and the cast on that float.
Yeah, so her friends, this is not helping.
Yes, you've got Abby and Miriam and Priya.
Okay, the people portraying these characters on the floats, amazing. I was like, these look directly out of the movie, and they're face characters. So I thought it was really cool to kind of see that.
They did.
I enjoyed
really
that they had Panda May up on top, but then they also had cardboard
May. Her dad. That's
even better.
Dad is dressed in the cardboard.
That's even
panda
better
costume. I thought that was such a fun touch.
Yeah,
we got to meet her mom during Lunar New Year. The Lunar New Year festival. We got to meet her
mom. There's another thing that's already happened this
and
week. We're 4 months in.
Yeah, and then now we get to see her dad rocking out on the float to the Four Town stuff. I think that's so fun.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of people who love Four Town. I keep telling James, I'm like, James, Four Town.
You know what? Someone said, I don't remember who it was. Someone on social media, I apologize if you're listening and it was you that said this, but someone pointed out they should, missed opportunity, they should have made Club Pixar like a, it could have been a mini Four Town concert back there.
Could have been.
And people would have loved it. Absolutely loved it.
All right.
Or maybe have that in the rotation of stuff that there was a mini Four Town concert.
Moving on from Pixar Fest, as exciting as that has been. Two of the locations in Downtown Disney are finally officially open.
Yeah.
Centrico and Paseo are open to guests. MiceChat reports that Centrico was good with a lot of great choices and good ambiance. The link in our show notes, they actually ate there and there's photos and stuff. The food looks terrific. Paseo features two display kitchens where guests can see tortillas at one of the kitchens and baked goods being made, and at the other one where the entrees are being made. MiceChat did say that they thought Paseo was a little on the pricier side, so they haven't eaten there, but the space themselves look really good,
which makes sense because we knew Paseo was going to be a more like high end, fancy upscale establishment. So it makes sense that the menu is a little more spendy. I will say that Centrico, the walls were down when we were there, which was super exciting. And they weren't open to the public yet. They must have been doing some like a soft opening with friends and family, but it looks really cool. And man, is it nice to have those walls down. That area just feels much better now that it's not just construction central. I really like the design. I like the wood beam work that they have going on with the Centrico thing that they also put when you go walk into inside of Paseo. They kind of have a spiral staircase look effect going with the same kind of planking.
These carne tacos look amazing.
And there was these really pretty, I don't even know what you want to call them. They were like, it almost looked like they were woven with grasses, like dried grasses, lanterns that were kind of like hanging down. They had some new built-in benches and fire pits so you could just kind of really just kind of relax and hang out at Centrico. It didn't feel like it was a, you know, get your stuff, eat and go. Didn't feel like it had much of a rush. Anyways, I just think it looks really, really cool.
It does look good. I've never, with the exception of, where did we eat that was upstairs in Downtown Disney?
Ballast Point.
Otherwise, I've never eaten upstairs at Downtown Disney where I could like see out. I feel like this area of Paseo, first of all, I love the idea that there's open kitchens, and Mice Chat has some photos of that too. But this upstairs area just looks so open and inviting. And I'm just thinking, like, today in the Midwest, we had a beautiful weather out today. And I'm just imagining Southern California, beautiful weather, sitting up and just watching the Downtown Disney World go by. Yeah. And how like awesome that could be. Like, look at this view. Like, mm-hmm. even they could even close these, and these are giant windows. To me, it just seems like this is going to be a cool place. Now, of course, it's a little pricier, but I think that you're not only paying for the food, which I've heard is it's a Michelin star person, but also the fact that you're paying for the atmosphere and the view and all of that stuff as well. So I think it looks really nice. I'd be excited to go up and watch the kitchen because I'm always like a behind the scenes, love to see how stuff is done. But I agree with you that Centrico also looks beautiful. Yeah. I like the greenery. So it doesn't, Downtown Disney sometimes, even though it was themed to be kind of horticulture-y kind of, always kind of felt concrete. There was many buildings,
a lot of concrete.
So this is adding some like softness to that, which I really enjoy.
I agree.
And there's the chef right there. He was in there training.
I think it definitely needs it too, because the new look of Downtown Disney is more modern and like darker colors. Like, it looked like the cements are more grays and blacks versus like the warmer tones that it is now. So I think having this big focal point be kind of, like you said, more of that warmth and softness is going to go a long way once they continue with their updates in Downtown Disney. Well, one of the other locations that was slated to come to Downtown Disney isn't a sure bet anymore. Rumor has it that Portos may not come to Downtown Disney after all. No word on why, but Earl of Sandwich will probably still be moving anyway, since they are building that new bigger building that has, what was it? There's going to be like a rooftop section for Earl. So they're going to have a bigger, nicer, permanent location. But yeah, rumor has it that there's something up with Portos that they might be maybe not coming to Downtown Disney. Nothing official, of course, from Disney or from Portos yet. Just the rumor mill for now.
Yeah, but what's interesting to me is like, what would have caused this? Because people were so excited for it that I just don't really understand why. Somebody had guessed online that they were concerned about the size of building they could have, because people have talked about that the Portos locations need a lot of space for like the bakery and stuff that they have. But I'm hoping, in a way, as much as like people were excited for Portos, I kind of hope that, I don't know, I'm stuck. Part of me wishes that Earl stays where it is, because I think that's a great location for them and not have to go far from the park to get something inexpensive and good. But at the same time, like, after all the stuff that they've been flopped around, they kind of deserve like a new location.
Yeah, like
that's
a bigger,
theirs.
Nicer, permanent their location. Yeah, exactly. And plus, like we said, there's going to be the rooftop part of it as well as just the down, which I think will be really cool. I think there's still going to be a lot of foot traffic, because it seems like the lawn space on the far west end of Downtown Disney is going to host all sorts of special events. There's that stage right there. I think there's going to be more dedicated entertainment down there. It's going to be a cool spot to be outside of the parks. So I do think they'll still get a lot of traffic. And really, for park people, like if you're in Disneyland, you're still just a quick monorail ride away if you don't want to walk all the way through Downtown Disney to get to Earl, which that's about where Earl was before. So it's not too different. But I agree. I did like the convenience of it being right outside the park, so it was easier to stop and grab a quick sandwich from Earl of Sandwich. I am curious if Portos does decide to not come to Downtown Disney. I am curious then what's going to happen with that space, because that's a prime spot, since you are right next to both of the parks. There's no way that spot's going to be empty for long.
Yeah, well, I hope something good moves into there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And wherever Earl ends up, I hope it's the last time they have to move.
Yes.
Because they've been shuffled around.
You know what, though? Maybe this is a positive. Maybe, perhaps, if Portos doesn't happen, that means Earl won't have to move to that temporary trailer location until their new home is ready them. So maybe this will save Earl one move along the way.
Yeah. I also saw that Din Tai Fung is coming along, and that might be ready for when we're there in June, and I'd
love
to eat
there as well. Which is crazy. That seems like it was taking a long time, but now all of a sudden it's like the fast lane.
Yeah. Well, it is that time again for our friend Eric over at Concierge to catch us up on other Disney news.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start our journey this week in Walt Disney World's Epcot Park. I had some pretty great times there this last weekend as I got to check out the Flower and Garden Festival. I ate a fantastic meal at Les Chefs de France, enjoyed some delicious ice cream, and somehow managed to hop into the queue at Ratatouille just as it reopened. We're talking a 5-minute wait here, people. All that excitement has me in the mood to look forward to Epcot's next big event, the International Food and Wine Festival. Disney announced dates a few days ago. Epcot's premier gustatory celebration will span 86 days this year, from August 29th through November 23rd. By that point, Epcot should be fully open, free of those pesky construction walls. Communicore Hall opens this June, giving the park a more flexible exhibit and performance space. Moana's Journey of Water has been open for a bit, and it's an absolute delight. I love that there are so many options to play in the water or just observe the great effects from a dry distance. Coca-Cola's Club Cool remains open, though I didn't manage to fit that into our last trip. Yep, Epcot has a Coke-sponsored lounge with free sodas from around the world. I recommend the Beverly. Look it up, folks. Epcot's Test Track is going to see some renovations soon, but that's fine. It's been a few years and it really could use a makeover. Besides, there are plenty of other things to do around the park. Heading back to the Food and Wine Festival topic, let's make sure that you check out that rotating crew of bands at the Eat to the Beat series this year. I am certain there will also be plenty of fun scavenger hunts and both returning and new food options at the kiosks around the park. I know. August is such a long way off. What if you're heading to the parks soon? Say, May the 4th through May 31st. Disney's Hollywood Studios and Disney Springs are loading up with some Star Wars treats for all of you aspiring Jedi, Sith, smugglers, and galactic senators. Yay! Seek out the Stormtrooper helmet popcorn bucket you must, I'm going to regret doing that impression. Anyway, having just left the parks myself, I feel a little bit down right now. But you know what? The best cure for those post-trip blues is planning another vacation. Disney has a great deal for you. After you check out, Disney will give you a 7-day window to schedule a trip in 2025. Just for planning ahead, Disney gives you between 25 and 35% off your next trip. Our concierges love to get in touch with you after your trip anyway to see how you liked the experience and plan ahead for future adventures. Let us know if you want to come back in 2025, and we will help get those details set up and your discount secured. The only downside is counting down those days until that next trip. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both DL Weekly and us, their official travel planners, concierges. We look forward to planning something special for you and yours. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Thanks, Eric.
We have to get the snacks for Tag and Teresa and James and Fern. Oh, and Cinderella. Time for Snack Chat.
Well, this week in Snack Chat, we have another foodie guide to go over. But before we do that, I need to talk about the other thing first, because this just came out like right as we were getting ready to come up here and record. And I just can't. I cannot with this. There is a drink you might think is a joke. We are past April 1st. This is no joke. The Sparkling Pickle Lemonade is coming to Disneyland tomorrow, May 1st, or today, depending on when you're listening to this, or yesterday. But I just can't. I cannot with this. It made me think of you immediately, Tag, since you were on this big old pickle kick this
but
last time we were there.
I'm not
but you
happy
were
with
also
lemonade.
Thinking everything was too tart. But I don't know how to feel about this. So if you're interested, this is coming to the refreshment corner. May 1st is when it's supposed to arrive. I cannot wait to hear people's thoughts on the pickle lemonade. Me personally, I'm not understanding. I cannot think of what these two flavors meshed together would be. I don't know. I have genuinely no idea if it would be good or if it would be terrible or somewhere in between. But I had to. We had to talk about this. You can go get your pickle corn dog and eat it with your pickle lemonade with a pickle on the side. I mean, why not?
No.
But the other cool thing too is there was, what was it, like a cinnamon roll pretzel.
That's what I was
also coming. Cinnamon roll pretzel that will also be coming to Refreshment Corner. That sounds pretty delicious. And while we're at it, there's some new beignets coming. There are peach beignets coming to the Mint Julep Bar and a mango and peach mint julep. Now that I would try, no questions asked, because that does sound delicious. But I don't. Yeah, the pickle lemonade, I'm just not sure. It's lemonade mixed with pickle juice, and then there's like garnished with a pickle spear. I just can't. I'm so curious. If I lived there, I would try, like if I lived locally, I think I would have to go like this weekend just to like wrap my brain around this pickle lemonade, because I can't wrap my head around it.
You are like obsessed with this
for
some reason.
I think it's hilarious.
I mean, it can be funny. I just, okay, anyway. The other part of Snack Chat this week is the Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month foodie guide that they released. And there is a ton
lot on this stuff. However, the eagle-eyed looker or viewer of reader, that's what I'm trying to say, the eagle-eyed reader of this foodie guide will notice that some of these things you have seen before, because A, they're either currently available at the resort, or B, perhaps they're on a different foodie guide as well. But there are some brand new to this foodie guide items coming, and they all sound delicious. They all sound so, so delicious.
Okay. What are you excited for?
Well, the one that I'm really excited for that was also on the Pixar Fest foodie guide is at the Tropical Hideaway. I need to try the pineapple coconut float. It's themed to lava, but it's blue Dole pineapple coconut juice topped with Dole Whip soft serve with a strawberry lava and a gummy.
So are these only around for this month?
So
we're going to miss it, right?
Some of them are, but some of them aren't. So like the float is a Pixar Fest item.
Okay. What about the crispy chili garlic? Oh, sorry. What about the shrimp and chive pot
stickers?
Those
I'm not sure of, because the ones that are available starting May 1st are the ones that are specific to this foodie guide. There is not an end date marked for the May 1st item. So
did you also see that the lumpia?
I saw that.
Is back?
So when we were just there a week and a half ago, we were at the Tropical Hideaway. Nowhere to be found was the lumpia. It was not mentioned anywhere on the menus. I will confess, we did not ask the cast members, but there was nothing showing us that the lumpia was available. It only had the bao buns. So either maybe they took a short break, or I'm not sure what happened with the lumpia, but they're back. So
at Aunt Cass's Cafe, what do you feel about this yuzu lemonade coffee?
This is another one that I'm not, I'm like, I don't, I would try it because it's a cold brew. but I don't.
Of course.
But okay, so the yuzu lemonade coffee is yuzu lemonade layered with cold brew. And I, again, it's another thing that I just, I can't wrap my head around what those two flavors combined would taste like. I can't, my brain is not able to tell me if, yes, this sounds delicious. No, this sounds terrible. Like, I don't know. I'm very curious.
I hope it's there when we're there so you can try it, yeah, but it probably won't be. I also, this Japanese style fluffy cheesecake is currently available. It also looks very, very good.
That's one of the things that's been at Aunt Cass Cafe since close to opening. And I don't know why, but we haven't been able to get over there and try it. Same thing with the honey lemonade is available at Aunt Cass's Cafe. And it's one of their permanent menu items. Mm. Just looks so good. So, so good.
Yeah, they have a lot of different... What is this purple drink? I just want it because it's purple. I don't even know what it is.
I think that is the lychee tea.
Oh. Hmm.
Yep, I think that's the lychee tea.
Interesting.
Which, again, is over at Lucky Fortune Cookery, which is their permanent menu. So don't worry. There is no time limit on when you can go try that lemonade.
I also want to try this beef bureau robin that's on this list.
Also part of the permanent menu. But something that is not part of the permanent menu, you can find over at the Hollywood Lounge, there's a dragon fruit soju mule, which is soju, dragon fruit syrup, lime juice, and ginger ale garnished with Dole dragon fruit. Yum!
You know, you didn't get as many drinks this last trip as I thought you were going to get.
There weren't as many specialty ones as I thought there were. So, but yeah, no, that's one of the new items. A couple other new items you can find.
Passion Orange and Guava Punch.
Yeah, you can find over at Smoke Jumpers Grill, the Passion Orange and Guava Punch. There's an alcoholic and non-alcoholic version. The alcoholic version has rum added to it.
What? Wait. What is this at Studio Canyon Company?
Orange, deliciousness.
An orange chicken burrito. Yeah. Like, first of all, I'm like, I was reading the description. I'm like, I kind of like these flavors.
I know.
This is like an entire Chinese food thing in a burrito. It's crispy orange chicken and lo mein noodles with vegetable and egg fried rice rolled in a flour tortilla and served with hot sauce and fried rice.
I think that sounds amazing. And to go with that, there's also a lychee pear refresher with lychee syrup, pear puree over ice with lychee popping spheres. Both of those things sound incredibly delicious to me. If they're still there when we go in June, we are trying these. However, if you get to try these, Weekly Tears, if you are trying these before we get to try them, or if they're not available, we need to know. I need to know how delicious these things are because, man...
You can't they eat sound this, amazing. But at the Tongaroa Terrace Bar and Grill, the tonkatsu ramen sounds amazing. It's a rich pork-based broth, wavy noodles, pork belly slices, fresh green onions, shiitake mushrooms, sambal, and soft-boiled flavored egg and nori.
Yum, yum, yum.
This looks very good.
There's a lot of new stuff at the Tongaroa Terrace Tropical Bar and Grill. A lot of our returning favorites, but there's some new breakfast items too. So there's new lunch and dinner items, but new breakfast items. There's tropical buttermilk pancakes, which sound delicious. Macadamia nut buttermilk pancakes, caramelized bananas, maple syrup, and a sweet butter. Yum.
They have a loco moco burrito, which is steamed jasmine rice, chopped wagyu beef patty, fried egg gravy, crunch fried shallots, and furikake served with salsa roja.
Yep. Also something that's currently available. Ooh. And then Trader Sam's has a couple of new things too. There's spice dry rub chicken wings. There's Kahlua style pork nacho poutine. So it's sweet potato fries, togarashi aioli, cojita cheese, cheese sauce, pickled red onions, lime crema, and cilantro. And a hearts of palm salad with your choice of grilled salmon or teriyaki chicken. Yum, 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 yum.
I want all
There's
of
too
this.
Many good things. You will soon hear how we spent more time eating this past trip than we probably did actually on attractions. And we were not mad about that because there are so many delicious things coming to the parks.
The problem is there's too much food to try. They have all these things going on. They could have spread this out. I'm just saying. But I think we've made everybody hungry enough. So if you are hungry and you have enjoyed listening to this week's episode. Please consider rating and reviewing the show on your podcast app. It helps other Disney fans become weekly tiers and part of the community so we can continue to do this. And they can also be hungry listening to the podcast. I hope that people listen to this while they're like cooking or something. So like then they can satiate that or while they're eating maybe. I don't know.
Your attention, please. DL Weekly Trivia is now leaving for a Grand Circle tour of the Magic Kingdom. With stops at New Orleans Square, Mickey's Toontown, and Tomorrowland. All weekly tiers board.
Hello and welcome to Trivia Land. How is it going, you two?
Well, it's going well.
We did just never know when we enter this land.
Did you enjoy your trip to Trivia Land when you were at the parks?
We didn't do that at all. But we ate a lot, and now we're hungry. So is there food in Trivia Land? You should do a food-themed Trivia Land one of these times.
Oh, that is a good idea. I do have a theme this week, but it's not food-themed.
Okay, well, pickles? Is it pickles?
That would also be smart, but no.
I suppose that would be food, wouldn't it?
I figure since you're getting ready for a Disney cruise, I would do questions about boats and boat-related attractions.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Wait, well, you say I'm getting ready like you are not going on this cruise with me.
Oh, I mean, I totally am, and it's going to be amazing. Yeah. But, you know, you are getting ready, too.
Sure.
So my first question for you is, name the Disneyland Resort attractions that use boats. And I mean boats, not rafts, not
both
submarines,
parks.
Boats.
Wait. Both parks. Yeah.
I want answers that can be included in both parks. Yep.
Okay. And then you said boats that are, what are you excluding?
No rafts.
Okay. So the rafts
no submarines.
Aren't a thing. No what?
Submarines.
Okay.
Boats.
The Mark Twain River boat.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I started writing already.
Oh. The Storybook Land Canal boats.
Yep, Storybook Land Canal boats. Pirates uses
it's
boats.
It's a small world.
Small world uses boats. I'm thinking Grizzly River Run. Those are rafts.
Those are, yeah, rafts.
Now, like, does it need to be a real boat? Or, like, does the pirate ship for Peter Pan count?
Ooh.
I'm looking for
it's
boats.
Not in water.
Let's put Peter
like
Pan.
You mean functional boats?
I just mean boats.
Okay, I'm
gonna
put
it's
Peter
a small
Pan.
World.
I know. I started. You can write them.
Well, you said you already started. Then I looked over, and you only had two things didn't write down.
Yeah, because I started writing my list while you were asking all your extra questions. Okay, well, so we got Mark Twain.
You got to know what to write.
Did we say the
Columbia?
Columbia.
I almost forgot about the Columbia. The canoes, are those boats?
I'd say they're boats.
Okay.
Jungle Cruise, hello.
Oh, yep. Open attractions, correct?
Yep.
Well, I don't know. Would the logs be boats?
No. I don't know if those are boats.
Okay. Not subs.
That's a good question. Dang it. Now I'm like going back and forth.
But he said open, and it's not open.
Oh, it's not open. So we don't have to worry about it.
Nope.
Phew. I think we got him.
There's a tickle that we forgot something. I'm just mentally going around. Disneyland, and then California Adventure. California Adventure only has Grizzly River Run, doesn't it, for, like, water? There's, like, hardly any water in DCA that's used for an attraction.
Yeah, no, the only water one is Grizzly, which I think we've determined those are rafts. Because you're whitewater rafting.
Yeah. But then is the canoe, because that's canoeing. It's not boating.
But a canoe is a boat.
Yeah, but you would also say the rafts of Tom Sawyer Island would be boat.
He said no rafts, though.
No, I know, but I'm just saying if he's being picky.
I think you're overthinking, Tag.
Do you have a number, James?
I'm going with the list we have.
I do have a number.
Can you give it to us or no?
No.
Okay. All right.
I will tell you that vessels such as canoes or barges, in this case, I have included as boats.
Barges?
Yes.
Well, there's no barge that people... It's guests ride it.
Guests ride it.
Yeah.
Unless so maybe that was a hint that the Tom Sawyer
That is
Island.
Not a hint to Tom Sawyer okay. Island. Those are distinctly
Those are rafts.
I will give you that one.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to go with those nine.
And
I think.
Did we not miss anything else? Okay. Okay. Yep.
Peter Pan's the one that's questionable, but other than that, I
Peter
think...
Peter Pan, you're on a boat.
All right. Question number two. Davy Crockett's Explorer Canoes opened in 1956, but under a different name, for the first 15 years it was open, but, you know, they wisely changed it.
Is it an Indian war canoes?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The end of the question was, what was it called? So, good job, Tag, jumping on the...
I'm hitching my canoe to yours.
Oh, finally, for once.
Two are in sync with those oars, not splashing each other.
Not splashing each other.
When we were there, didn't we see a boat go by that, like, was really empty? It was, like four people in front, like, one person in the back.
Yeah. Oh, that's rough.
Yeah. We didn't ride the canoes this trip, though. Anyway.
All right, third question. True or false? The doors on the buildings in Storybook Land canal boats have hinges and can be opened.
I'm going to say true. I feel like...
I'm going to say true as well.
They are that detailed with Storybook Land.
Yeah.
All right. Final question this week.
And I think something.
Weird Al wrote a parody song about a cast member working one of these nautical attractions.
Oh!
Which one? An extra smiles for me if you can tell me the song name.
Dang it. I can't remember what the song name is, but it's the Jungle Cruise.
Weird Al did a Jungle Cruise song?
I'm almost positive.
Well, Vern must love that, because doesn't Vern love Weird Al, and doesn't he love Jungle Cruise?
I'm almost, dang it, now I'm trying to remember, like, what it is.
James, can Teresa phone a spouse?
No. But she can share it with him later.
Yeah, it's Jungle Cruise, but I don't remember what the catchy, like, name is for it.
All I was thinking musically with attractions was I was thinking Tragic Kingdom by Pink used the remain seated, please. Peppermint Assassin, Tato's por favor, before the beginning. Mm-hmm.
Dang it. You know what's even worse? I can see the music video.
So what are the lyrics?
I don't, like, I can't hear it. I can see it. I don't remember. I don't remember what it is.
Okay.
Tag, what are you?
Jungle Cruise, that's all I got.
Trust in Teresa.
Trusting Teresa because she could see it, which means that she could probably see that it's the Jungle Cruise.
See it, yes. Those are my four questions. Usually I'd make a joke like, we'll see if this boat is still afloat after this week's discussion topic. So we'll go with that. All right, see you in a bit.
Rack up the deals on everything summer at Nordstrom Rack and get brands you love up to 60% off. Vince, Kate Spade New York, Steve Madden, Madewell, Nike, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Just in dresses, tops, shorts, sandals, sneakers, denim, luxury bags, and sunglasses. Rack up the deals today and save up to 60% on summer at your Nordstrom Rack store.
Texting between two different kinds of phones makes photos blurry, ugly, and security risky. Not just that, it also makes video calling, editing messages, or leaving a group nearly impossible. With WhatsApp, everyone can enjoy seamless messaging with the protection of end-to-end encryption. Streamline your messages across all devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with anyone you want. Click the banner or download now to learn more.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we are going to cover what we did the rest of the trip, because you heard last week our trip from the park. We are still in the park. We are actually recording from Hungry Bear again, because it's a great place to record from. And so
it's so chill up here.
It is chill. Today it's warm. The clouds went away, finally. But then it got a little toasty. We went and saw the parade and stuff, and it got warm.
Yeah, it did.
Which we didn't expect.
So we're enjoying the shade. Well, the first thing we're going to start off, we're not really venturing too far from Snack Chat for the first part of this discussion topic. We are going to just talk through the rest of the foods that we tried. A lot of them were festival-specific foods. Some of them may be our Season of the Force foods, so they will still be around. The festival foods, we won't spend as much time talking about since that the Food and Wine Festival did end as of April
22nd.
As of yesterday as we're recording this, but as you're listening, a week plus ago.
I do want to get something out of the way. I want to get the elephant in the room out of the way. I've had five pickles on this trip.
5 pickles. He didn't even have one yet today, so you can all do them. And I think you only had one yesterday.
I averaged 2 per day.
Yeah, so that means you had like 3 day.
Yeah.
A day with 3. So
I don't know why I had a pickle
craving.
There's
something about pickles. And it's not even like it's hot outside. I crave pickles when it's like hot summer day. And you're in like a sweatshirt eating pickles.
And they were very good, but I will tell you, Teresa wanted me to look out for this because I was doing a bad job at this.
Yes, you were.
Some pickles are larger than other pickles at the different stands, so you want to try to find
about
the
about your pickles.
Yes, you want to find the bigger ones. But anyway,
better, more bang for your buck.
I've also had two, three. How many churros have we had on this trip?
Well, we'll get into it.
Okay,
we're talking about food first.
Sure.
So, first up is none other than a churro that we actually started our day with yesterday. I was really interested. This was for the Food and Wine Festival. It was the banana and butterscotch churro. It was found at Willie's Churro Cart. This was actually really good because it wasn't rolled. I don't think it was rolled in cinnamon sugar. I didn't realize this till we were, you know, really had gotten into trying it. I think it was just rolled in sugar.
Oh.
So it didn't have that cinnamon flavor, so it made it a little different tasting. It was topped with, like, a vanilla icing, banana chips, and then butterscotch chips. So like you
chocolate
just
chips
baking.
And butterscotch, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it. It was different, and the flavors I thought worked well. And I liked, because sometimes with the specialty churros, they kind of, I don't know, maybe it's just like chocolate, like it just tastes like churro and chocolate. This is a very unique flavor, so I enjoyed it. And I liked the crunch that the banana chips gave it, so it gave it a kind of fun, different texture. So that was my breakfast yesterday.
I thought the butterscotch and the banana worked well together, because sometimes banana can be really overpowering, but I thought they balanced it well.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I gave another try to the pimini, which was really good this time. They put so much meat inside of it, which made it a little challenging, but I thought it was good. It redeemed the pimini for me, although I think I'm at about a 50-50 pimini success rate, so I don't know if that necessarily is going to totally redeem things, but...
And if you're wondering why Tag decided to get another pimini, it was because I wanted to go try the cinnamon cold brew that was over at Pim Test Kitchen. This was... I don't know if this was a Food and Wine Fest specific, because it wasn't actually on their menu, nor was it on, like, the Food and Wine Festival guide, but it was really good. So basically think either, like, a churro or think, what is that, Cinnamon Churros Crunch cereal type of cold brew. So it was a cold brew with a cinnamon cream. I want to say vanilla and caramel were in it as well, and it was topped with a cinnamon whipped cream and Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal drizzled with caramel. So it definitely was sweet. But I enjoyed it.
Good.
It was good. Tag was making fun of me because I always eat, whenever they top it with cereal, I always try and eat the cereal bits first because otherwise they get soggy and kind of ick. So I was just sitting there eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal by the square.
It looked really good though, because you were
good.
Thinking it was going to taste like a churro cold brew. Mm-hmm. Did it taste like a churro cold brew?
Different.
Yeah, because I was going to say Cinnamon Toast Crunch doesn't usually taste like a churro to me.
Yeah,
it's
nope, it tasted different.
Flavor.
The other thing I want to mention, this is the only place that we have seen these, but Pim does not have paper straws anymore.
Oh,
I
yes.
was given an agave straw, which is, if you've used an agave straw,
far
they're
superior.
Very similar to like a plastic straw in that they don't get soggy like the paper straws do. Plus, they look cool. They're kind of like brown and speckled looking. There's no like flavor or anything to them, but also a better, much better alternative than plastic, but it holds up like a plastic straw does. So, win. So, we were talking about that. I'm like, I wonder if we're going to see more around the resort. Well, spoiler alert, we have not. That was the only place that we saw them. But I'm curious if this means maybe it's, you know, things to come that might...
Fingers
maybe
crossed.
The paper straws are being phased out and they're going to be bringing in these agave straws instead, which would be awesome.
It would be awesome. We ate a lot on this trip, just spoiler alert. So
we totally did.
We hit up a bunch of the food and wine stuff. So we had the cheeseburger bao, which ours was interesting. We asked a couple people who we had run into, some weekly tiers that had had it previously, and because it was the last day, this was more in like a bao tortilla, I guess you'd call like what you see.
It was like a bao taco.
But not like a dumpling. Mm-hmm. Not shaped like a dumpling.
Yep, it was an open-faced bao.
It was good, though. It had a lot of meat in it, actually. I was pretty surprised. They packed it full.
Mm-hmm.
It tasted just like a Big Mac, did you say?
Yeah. I enjoyed it. It was quite delicious. And I think you're right, because it was, like an open face bao. I think we got more filling than the closed bao buns probably had in them. To go along and to wash down our cheeseburger bao, we also got the kiwi apple lemonade, which I really enjoyed. It was tart because it is a lemonade, so Tag was not a fan, so he had one sip and was done. So I got to finish the rest, but I actually really enjoyed it. It was tart. We had it earlier in the day, and it was a little chilly when we had it. I think it would have been more refreshing or like hit the spot better on a hot summer day than the day that we had it. But still, overall, very delicious.
Yeah. I tried the shrimp papas locas, which I thought was pretty good. There was something spicy in it, which I think I should have known going into it, but...
There was a jalapeno cheese sauce.
That's what it was. It was the cheese sauce that was doing it to me. But the shrimp was really good. There was some tater tots mixed in there. There was some fresh stuff on top of it as well. It was very good. Very good.
Later on, we had one of our favorites that we've had that's come back to the festival multiple times. It's the garlic sirloin.
Yes.
With, like, mashed potatoes that, of course, can be found at the Garlic Kissed booth. This year was different, though. The meat was bigger pieces, and it was more tender than what we have had in the past.
It felt like a more premium cut of meat, for sure. It was good.
Delicious.
I had to laugh because we were sitting there, and Teresa thought there was another piece left, and so she ate a piece. And then I was like, did you eat the last piece? And she's like, no, there's another piece in there, and it was gone.
It was just potatoes.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
The mashed potatoes were also very good. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as garlicky as I expected that it was going to be because it was from the Garlic Kissed booth.
It was very heavy on the chimichurri sauce, I thought. Like, I was thinking there'd be a drizzle, but no, it was heavy on the chimichurri, a little light on the garlic.
Yeah. I also picked up, well, this goes along with the other thing, too. I picked up the raspberry...
Almond
cake, which was pretty good. It was a little drier.
I liked it.
To be fair, we bought this with a second olive oil cake because I am obsessed with the olive oil cake, which you wouldn't think so because it was supposed to be lemon. And compared to the olive oil cake, I thought that this one, the almond cake, was a little bit drier and like more tart. I don't know. My mind was not happy with the tartness of some things this trip.
I really, really, really enjoyed this raspberry almond cake. So for me, that was one of our wedding, when we had our reception back home for the wedding, that was one of our cake flavors, was an almond cake with raspberry filling. I really liked the mixture of this. To me, this cake was very moist. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit more dense than what the olive oil cake was. And it had raspberries baked into it. So if you maybe had a piece that had a raspberry and just a little cake, I could see where you got an overly tart feeling to the cake. But I thought it was really nice.
I think something was up with my mouth, too, because... because you tasted it, and a weekly tier was with us, too, and they tasted it. And both of you could taste the almond, and for me, I couldn't taste the almond, so...
Maybe it was all the pickles that, like...
Probably.
Dampened your...
Well, you did just show me another pickle in talking about this. So, yes, I had had a pickle sometime around this. Yeah, so, of course.
And then the last thing that we... one of the last things, I guess we have a couple more, that we tried was the... I was so excited about this. I don't know why, but this was my number one thing that I wanted to try. It was the frozen old-fashioned... So it was basically a popsicle. Even though it was called an old fashioned, there was not alcoholic, no alcohol in this. So it wasn't like it was a boozy popsicle, but it was a bourbon flavored like ice cream with different drizzles and popping pearls on it. I liked this so much. The only difficult part was it was actually cold and misty at the time that we enjoyed this. So I mean. The one nice thing was it wasn't melting too fast, but it was a little chilly to be eating a frozen dessert, but I really, really enjoyed this. The flavors, it was interesting. I tried that. There's two different drizzles. One was kind of like a crema, and then the other one was a puree, a mango puree maybe. I didn't like those like individually on their own, but I liked the blend of all the flavors together with the bourbon ice cream. It was, delicious.
We also tried the cheese pizza flavored wings, which I thought were pretty good. Now, I don't usually eat bone-in wings with my hands. Teresa was judging me because that's not how you eat wings, because I was eating with a fork and knife. But I thought it was very good. The ranch was like homemade ranch because they had giant chunks of the green stuff in ranch in there, and it was very good. Altogether, very, very good. People talked highly of it and totally agree that it was very, very good. And a decent portion size. What was there, four wings? So
four
you
wings.
Got two and I got two.
Yeah,
it was great.
It was two flats and two drummies, so it was good size.
Yeah. We also picked up this no-bake
peanut
butter pretzel cheesecake that was a four-block pizza and pasta. It was pretty good. The lady at the register, I thought it was so funny because she said, you want to share this because it's too sweet to eat on your own. Well, Teresa had one bite and thought it was good, but it was really rich,
was
or that's
rich.
All she wanted. Mm-hmm. And I ate the rest, and I didn't have a problem with it.
You're like, I could have a second.
By the time I got to the last bite, in all honesty, by the time I got to the last bite, I could not have had a second one because it was too rich. But it was good. I thought it was very, very good, and I love cheesecake, and it was a little different take on all that.
Next up, we tried a couple of festival-specific drinks. I had the strawberry horchata, and Tag had the lemon milk tea. Both were very, very
good. The honeydew.
Oh, that was it. Honeydew. Sorry, not lemon. What was I thinking? The honeydew milk tea. Holy cow. Okay. You all know how much I love a good horchata. I did enjoy the strawberry horchata. However, that honeydew milk tea
was
something else. It was delicious. There were these little like jellies that were at the bottom that, unlike the jelly thing that was on top of the olive oil cake, these little jellies had little bursts of flavor in them. Oh my gosh, it was delicious.
It was very, very good.
That was one of my favorite things we tried out of the entire festival menu.
I agree. I was sad when I got to the end of the drink because I wanted more. It was so good.
It was really, really good. And then for dinner, we finished it up because, right, of course, why wouldn't we have more stomach space? But for dinner, I didn't realize you had never had these. Both of us finally, for the first time, tried the film strip fries from Award Wieners.
But it wasn't just the film strip fries.
Holy Cats film strip fries. Delicious. If you haven't tried them yet, do it. You won't regret it. If you're a fry person, definitely do it. But they were the carne asada fries. So there was carne asada, there was sauces, cheese, guacamole, all topped on top of the fries, kind of like nachos. And the blend of those flavors was good. The meat was very tender, very juicy. The sauces were nice. The guacamole was good. But the whole thing together. Delicious. And it was a good-sized portion that we shared.
Yeah, I thought the carne asada was good. And I thought that obviously the film strip potatoes were good. For me, I didn't really like the avocado whatever. But I'm not a huge
The one thing I wish they would have done is they were just kind of a blop of the avocado or the guac.
Sure.
Kind of off to the side. They didn't. If they would have like drizzled it over the whole thing, so it would have blended in with the rest of the toppings and flavors, I think I would have enjoyed it more instead of just having this like one section be overly guac.
Yeah,
but
I agree. Mixing it up would have been good.
Very, very good. Moving on today, we're trying to be not as food heavy today. So for breakfast, we actually had a late breakfast intentionally. And we had breakfast back on Batu. We waited until Docking Bay 7 was open. I got, of course, the black calf cold brew because no trip would be complete without a black calf cold brew.
I would not think you were Teresa if we did not get the black calf cold brew.
And then the other thing I tried were the, oh gosh, what were they called now? The spicy chicken bao. From
not even
Docking
a fancy like Star Wars name.
Nope, not even a fancy Star Wars name. I really enjoyed these. Again, it was another, I'm going to call them open face bows, where it's like it's not a closed bow bun. I enjoyed these. The thing that I would have made them like perfect for me was I'm not a dark meat person, and it was thighs that were in it. I assumed wrongfully that it would be like chicken tenders.
Yeah.
Fried chicken tenders that would be in these bao buns, but it was not. So if you are like me, not a dark meat person, just heads up. However, if you are a dark meat person, heads up. These are it's fried chicken thighs.
I would have loved this because I love sauce and I love dark meat, but it was spicy. Very sweet. Teresa just said, you will not want to try these.
Yeah, the first bite I had, I'm like, ooh, you are not going to want to try
these.
I think the sauce was spicy, and I think something about the breading on the chicken may have also been spicy. Not as spicy, but may have had some spice too. So lots of sauce, but definitely spicy.
I had a bar brought to a morning wrap. So.
And for me, the ratio for, there was maybe a little bit too much of the slaw, but other than that, the ratio seemed pretty good with all of the different fillings. So I think I got a good batch.
Yeah. We went back to Toontown for lunchtime, and we got flopovers. Teresa had never had a flopover to herself.
I had had a bite of someone's flopover once and couldn't remember what I thought of the flopover specifically, so I really wanted to try a flopover again.
I had the Granny Goof's Garden Sweet Tea, which I thought was really good, except for it was kind of weird at first. So it had sweet iced tea with honey mango premium syrup and mango flavor-filled spheres. At first, the mango flavor-filled spheres added something weird to it. Like, my first drink, I thought it was odd. But on my second, and then through the rest of it, it was actually very good. I don't know, like, maybe my mouth just had to get used to it. I don't know. But it was, it ended up being very good.
A different combination of flavors. It had been 2 hours, so I had another cold brew. And I got the cold brew back from the specialty cold brew back from Daisy's Cafe as well. That one's really good. It's a mudslide coffee, and it's topped with whipped cream and caramel sauce. Very delicious.
I would have drank.
Yeah, I actually told Tag after my first couple of sips, I'm like, I think you'd like this. So I had him try it, and he did. He's like, I could actually drink this one, which that's the second cold brew he said that for. Usually he won't even try them. So that's high praise. So definitely is a cold brew that's on the sweeter side that does not have coffee as its main flavor. The coffee flavor kind of just takes a back seat and just has a nice blend to the rest of the flavors. Very, very good, though, if you haven't tried these. And the pizza flopover and the cold brew, as well as the tea that Tag had, are all on the permanent menu back at Cafe Daisy.
Right now, as we're recording this, we're sitting in Hungry Bear, and I ordered the tea that they had at Hungry Bear, which is the Acre Mist Tea. By the way, that is the Mark Twain in the background going by, if you can hear the puffing. This was black tea with elderflower syrup and lavender cream topper. I think the one I had back in Toontown was a little bit better, but this one was also good.
I will say this, though.
It is off-putting to look at.
As soon as he walked around the corner, I said, that is the most unappetizing thing I've seen, because something about the cream, it wasn't really blending nicely with it, so it looked like just these lumps of cream kind of suspended.
It looked curdled almost. Yeah.
It wasn't, but it just sits funny. Now, as it's been sitting and you've mixed it a while, now it's blended up a little bit better.
Now, tonight for dinner, we haven't had it yet, but we're planning to try the pretzel. What is it? The cheese filled pretzel.
The garlic cheese pretzel
with the
Bengal barbecue
skewers inside of it.
Yes.
Which another weekly tier who's here, we haven't seen her yet actually, but we've been chatting with her electronically, said that she tried it and it was very good. So we're excited for that for dinner
tonight. And the internet has been blowing up about this too. So, and it's two.
Thought to put them together.
It's two of our favorite. So the first person I saw do it online, I don't know if she's the one that was the original, but the first person that I saw was, her name is Ashley, and her Instagram handle is Ashley Dixon's Shenanigans, and she's a big Disney.
I'm supporting this shenanigans.
Yeah, she's a big Disney enthusiast and just travel enthusiast all around. She used to be Disney Planner Babe was her handle on Instagram, but she did change it to Ashley Dixon Shenanigans now instead. But she was the first person that I saw online do it. I don't know if she's the creator, but she's at least the one that sparked the idea for us to try it and see how it
is. I'm very excited because both these things are great.
It's two of our favorite things. What could go wrong, right?
That is true. So other than food, I know food has been a huge topic. Okay, I'm going to let Teresa go here because I know she's going to go. So let me just get in my three words and then Teresa can just go. We saw the droids in Galaxy's Edge.
The little BDX droids.
They were amazing. The videos don't do them justice. It is great. Now Teresa's going to fangirl.
I couldn't get enough. Could not get enough. Like, I would hang out in Galaxy's Edge just to, like, follow these little droids around. They were so, so cute. So the thing that I was surprised by is we actually caught them. It was almost like a mini show that we caught. Everything that we've seen online has just been them, like, walking to where their space is, which is usually, I'm going to call it the garage. I don't know what the actual term is, but it's the space where the speeders and all that are parked at Galaxy's Edge, kind of by where, like, down from Docking Bay and over by the droid factory is kind of where we're at.
It's where they have that new Bounty Hunter game area well. Yeah.
So the things I've seen online is them in that space, and they're behind basically a fence, but they're just being cute and adorable and doing stuff with the crowd. This was like, there was, what was the storyline? There was a droid, the droid trainer was out with them. And so they were very, very vocal about we need to give the droids space. We need to stay, you know, try and stay about 6 feet back. All of the guests that were there were very understanding, very respectful of that. They did. It was the droid trainer plus, I want to say, four other cast members. Two cast members were the ones making magic for with the droids. And then the other two were just kind of, I think, spotters to make sure nobody got too close, to make sure that, because the droids were very shy and they're in training. So that's why we couldn't rush them and scare them. So anyways, so it was really cute, but like the whole story was that, yep, they were in training and that they were going to be like personal assistant droids. They picked out two kids from the crowd to come out and like see if they could do some training with the droids. So they asked the droids to do different things like go to the left, walk, or yeah, go to the right, or walk backwards,
spin around.
And then the other thing that they had them do was jump. But man, these droids, not only are they just cute, like just to look at even when they're not moving, but they pack massive, massive personalities, which was really fun to watch. So we had a real good time watching them. If you are interested in finding these droids right now, they are just out for the Season of the Force time. Past that, I don't know if they're going to be making regular appearances in Galaxy's Edge or what their schedules might be. Maybe they'll be fully trained by then. Who knows? But right now, if you're interested in trying to catch these BDX droids, try and find a cast member. We found a cast member over by the garage area and told them that we were, you know, in town looking to see if we could meet and see these droids. And he gave us an idea of, he's like, oh, you know, I think I just saw the trainer, and I think I saw her over by where TIE Defender?
The TIE Echelon.
The TIE Echelon's park. So it's over by the First Order area. I think I just saw the trainer over there. Go check over there. If they're not there, they will be making their way over here at around this time. So he gave us a really good idea of where to go, what time to find them, all that. So that was great. We weren't just having to sit and wait and wonder like you do some of the other characters.
Yeah, yeah, which we've done in the past when we were trying to find Mando, when we were trying to find Ahsoka, which we saw a couple of them too. We saw Sabine and R2 today too, on right before we saw the droids, which was a lot of fun. Oh, look, they must be putting the canoe away because it's just the three canoe drivers by themselves.
Oh, yeah. Or they're taking it out.
Can you not tell that we are sitting on the edge of
America? I think they're bringing it out because, see, they're parked back there.
Don't they close at 5, though?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Maybe they're just going on a leisurely paddle around Tom Sawyer's Island.
Right. Squirrel.
Who knows?
But yeah, no, otherwise.
For the record, that was not me, Squirrely. That was totally.
I know.
I'm usually the squirrel.
Yeah, I sat this way for once and then I realized it is very difficult. Because I'm facing out to the river and Teresa's facing in towards the restaurant. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, just in general, the park has been really pleasant, yes. I would say. It was a little bit busy yesterday for the end of the Food and Wine Festival because I think everybody's trying to get their last minute things in. By the way, the new pass that you use for the Sip and Savor pass, the method they do it now works really well. They scan it, you enter your PIN, you're not snapping off pieces of a thing, and at the bottom of your seat it has how many things are left as well, so you can always look at that, or they can tell you at the end when they ring you up as well. So hopefully they continue to use these for future festivals where they have the Sip and Savor pass, because it worked out really well, really slick. They had a lot of places where you could buy the Sip and Savor passes which weren't just at the food booths. The thing we will always tell people is try to order, if you have a list of food items, find a short line at one of the booths and order all the food you want, and then you just take your receipt to the different booths. Most of the time, that hasn't been a problem. There were a couple items that seemed to get conflicting results from people of certain items they said couldn't be ordered at anything but the booth where they served it, but then later in the day, we had that same item be able to be ordered differently. So your mileage may vary, but in general, you can order most things at any of the booths and take your receipt.
So as far as things that we've done, experiences, if you will, that we've had. So yesterday was very, very food heavy. So it was a weird day for us. It was very food. It's been a weird trip for us, actually. We haven't been very attractions focused this entire time that we've been in the park.
Although today we did really well.
We've been, more attractions. This is the most attractions we've done.
Correct.
Has been today. Actually, it may be the most, like, all of the rest of the days compared to today. Today may still be slightly more because we've just not been very attraction focused, which is nothing wrong with that. We've been very focused on looking around and just enjoying the space, meeting up with friends and listeners and
parade,
all sorts of food,
droids,
you know, more of the ambiance stuff that's not attractions. Checking out all the progress being made at Tiana's Bayou Adventure as well as the Haunted Mansion. So attractions that we did yesterday, Teg went and did The Incredicoaster single rider.
Which was a great experience, mm-hmm. actually. I ended up with somebody who we didn't talk at all, but he was having the time of his life, which is wonderful.
We also met up with a couple of weekly tiers and rode Ariel's Under the Sea Adventure together. Later on, we did Monsters, Inc. We also did Radiator Springs Racers tried the single rider line for. We did it in probably the busiest part of the day, and it was still only about 20 minutes for us to wait. And our luck was in our favor. We actually were in the same car. We were just sitting behind each other instead of next to each other. So that worked out really, really well. We also went and checked out the Animation Academy, of course. We both drew Dory, which she was actually much easier to draw than I would have thought. So that's what I love about the Animation Academy. You learn things about yourself that maybe you wouldn't have known. Or, like, I always look at drawings and just think, wow, how do those people do that? And it's amazing when somebody breaks it down step by step. It's like, oh, maybe I can do this too. So,
and each step is so easy that, like, anybody could do it. It's really the sum of all those parts that make the character. Mm-hmm. And the animation cast members are very good at walking you through those steps. So if you're ever nervous or shy, or you feel like you're going to draw, you can't even draw a stick figure, that's what I tell people all the time. You really can draw. Just go in with an open mind and have fun with it.
Yeah. And then to end our day, we watched World of Color 1 again, which is, I think, both of our favorite versions of World of Color. It's just a really beautiful story. They did not do the big, giant fireball last night. I think maybe it was a little bit too windy for that, not too windy for the rest of the show. It was modified slightly. But
it also wasn't super packed.
No. It was, yeah.
It was probably the least busy I've ever seen World of Color, but that's mostly because it was like a weeknight.
And it was chilly. And it was misting.
Yeah.
On top of just the regular mist you get from the show.
I don't know if we talked about it last time, but we also got to see the preview of the new Pixar Together Forever fireworks, which was two nights ago.
We haven't talked about that
yet.
So this weekend, or maybe we did. We'll talk about it again. Briefly, just in case. So this weekend they previewed Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights the new Pixar Fest Together Forever fireworks show, which will be officially showing starting this week as we record it. Yeah. However, we'll have already started officially on April 26th. So it was really fun treat to get that. We weren't expecting that whatsoever. So the new show is nice. I saw the show originally when Pixar Fest was first here in 2018. And the show has a lot of... It's the same show, but they added a lot of different scenes to it. So new characters like Luca, the characters from Turning Red, they're involved and they're in the show now, whereas obviously they weren't before because they weren't part of the Pixar family just yet.
Right.
So that was really fun to see those updated scenes. They still have Buzz Lightyear flying overhead, as well as the Up House. Very good. What were your thoughts? Because that's the first time you had ever seen the show.
I thought it was pretty good. I think it's a solid, good show for the summer, especially for Pixar Fest, for something that's like a fest having a fireworks show. I thought it was going to be pretty good. We were in the hub, so we didn't see... Where we were, we had kind of a tree in the way. We didn't get to see the projections like on Main Street, so I can't tell you how that's going to go.
So from what I remember previously, Main Street's where it's at.
Yeah.
Main Street is the fun place to watch this show because there are some fun surprises that only happen on Main Street.
So we didn't see
it. I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Yeah, we didn't see that stuff, but the show itself I thought was pretty good. I thought they did a good job kind of transitioning between all the different things and whatnot. People seemed to like it. People were dancing. You know, solid show. Definitely not like their worst show by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be a great summer show, which I think we already talked about too, but we also saw the Fire of the Rising Suns or something like that, which is the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge music that goes with that show. Mm-hmm. And that was also very good, I thought. Where do you think people should sit for that?
We were told, we asked the cast members where to go, and they told us by the garage, which is apparently where we're hanging out in Galaxy's Edge this trip.
The garage.
It's by the garage. So that's where we watched it. I would not recommend watching it there. They did say this is the best place because you can see the fireworks to your left and the fireworks to your right, which is true. However, you have to, like, you're fully having to turn your head to be able to see both. So it's kind of like if they're happening at the same time, you're not seeing both at once. I would recommend going maybe not right down next to the Falcon, because it did get really busy down there. If you go on the, go up the stairs next to like where docking bay is, there's that elevated seating area that kind of looks out over the Falcon. I would go back there because you're going to see the big fireworks from there. You don't see the little ones that go off the castle, but you're not, that didn't really add that much to the storyline of the music in Galaxy's Edge, but they do some cool lighting effects on the spire, like the spires,
the rock
surrounding,
work, yep.
surrounding the Falcon. So I think that would be a better experience there than what we were. Three areas that you can view it from. You can view it from the garage that we were at. You can view it from in front of the Falcon, or you can view it in front of, in the First Order area where that TIE
echelon
thing is parked. So yeah. Yeah, I would recommend the 2B.
I think the Falcon is definitely the
Falcon,
spot
but
to
but that,
up
that,
of that elevated,
up
section.
Elevated section.
Yeah, I agree, because they had some lighting that we didn't really get the full breadth of with all of that, but I think it would be really good. I think it was cool that they did this with the two different audio tracks to the same show. I thought it was really creative, and I don't even know how they, like, how do you do that? But they did a great job on it.
Well, and the fact that they did that, and, I mean, it's not like they test the fire, like, when are they testing these fireworks? They don't. They just kind of, I don't know, see, maybe see it, see the design of it, and then have to mix the music in. I don't know how they did it, but I thought it was really interesting. Moving on to this morning. So we did rope drop Disneyland this morning because this is our last day. And we had it's been a really, really productive day. The crowds have been low. The wait times have also been super low. So we've been able to get a lot done with minimal wait time, which is amazing. We started the day in Tomorrowland. I know.
Of all things.
I know. And we started
Producer
the day
James
in Tomorrowland
will be really proud.
Because we wanted to make sure we got Hyperspace Mountain. That was basically a walk-on at Rope Drop. We then also walked right on to Star Tours to go check out the new scenes in Star Tours. Really fun. We had Ahsoka as well as the
Space Whales
were the two new scenes that we got to experience. After that, we went over to Buzz Astro Blasters because, again, walk on, why not? We had our breakfast plans starting at like between 10 and 10:30 were our pickups for our mobile orders. So we decided to go into Fantasyland, literally walked on to every single of the classic dark rides minus Alice, walked right on, like it was like maybe 5 minutes to wait for Snow White. There was one family in front of us when we got into the queue of Pinocchio, so that was the most ever walk-on I've ever experienced at an attraction. Toad, minimal wait time, probably like 5 minutes. And then Peter Pan was listed at 20 minutes, so we're like, oh, that's really reasonable for Peter Pan, because actually earlier in the morning, when it was just the hotel guests, it spiked to 40 minutes for the wait. So we decided, we'll get
it. We actually thought it was
going to
be 20 minutes as well.
And it looked like it was going to be 20 minutes until it went down. So we're diehards, though. They said you didn't have to get out of the queue if you didn't want to, so we didn't. We did end up waiting probably a total
of
close to like 30 minutes, 35 minutes to get on. But we watched them fix the issue, which happened to be right in the load and unload area. We watched them cycle through it. So it was actually, because we're nerds, really interesting and fascinating to watch. Plus, most of the people had decided not to wait and got out of line.
So we still moved
had
up.
A very, yeah, we were moving pretty much the whole time, so it wasn't a terrible wait.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really great. We did that. Then, of course, we went over and ate all the stuff in Galaxy's Edge. We went on Rise because somehow Rise was only a 40-minute wait, and we only ended up waiting about 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Which was great. It's 30 right now. By the way, as we're recording, it's 30 minutes right now. Yeah, so we did all of that. We went over to Toontown and got our lunch and stuff. We rode Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which... beautiful also, and amazing as always.
Also has had minimal waits.
Same
for
thing
the day.
Went on. It's a Small World was super quick. Yep. We walked up to the front. Teresa wanted to get some photos, and we watched the Magic Happens parade again, which was
from
great.
From our favorite spot, which is right at the where the Pixar
Christmas
thing
Tree
is.
Point.
Oh, is that what it's actually called?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right, I thought you just were calling.
No, Christmas Tree Point. It's at the tip of Town Square.
So at the tip of Town Square is where we watched it from. I was so happy because Merlin did his fun little like underwear jig is what I'm going to call it.
Right
where
in front of you.
Yeah, it was where he pulls up his robes and you can see his bright pink underwear and he like kicks his legs out to the side all hilariously. He did that literally like as they were passing. So it was really fun.
Yeah. So at that point, that brings us to about where we are now.
Oh, Winnie the Pooh. We also rode Winnie the Pooh.
And
we stopped at the Tropical Hideaway and got a Dole Whip after bacon in the sun waiting for the parade to start.
That's true. So I think we're going to go try to catch some of the things we still want to catch tonight, and we'll see what we can do, is I want to try to get on Alice because we don't go on Alice that often, but I would like to try to go on Alice. I'm almost tempted to go over to Rise because it's only 30 minutes, and when is it ever that? But it is 5:30, and the park closes at 8 tonight because of a Star Wars night, so we do have to try to keep in mind because we do want to get the food and all of that stuff, so we'll have to see how it goes, but it has been a great trip.
Yes.
We've met so many weekly tiers between the meetup and just meeting people up
in
the park.
Bumping into people in the park.
It's been wonderful. We really appreciate it. If you do ever see us in the park, don't feel bad or guilty or weird or anything. Please come up and say hi. Mm-hmm. You can also, if you're in the park, when we're in the park, shoot us a message on social media through Instagram, seems to be the best way. And just let us know that you're here and we can try to meet up with you. Stuff we've done with weekly tiers before, we've gotten like a snack or a drink or something, or we've ridden an attraction or something. We're totally okay with all that. So don't feel like you're imposing on our day. Part of the joy we both get out of coming to the parks now is meeting all of you and
exactly.
hearing how your experiences are and experiencing something with you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. The menus can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World. DL Weekly.
All right, welcome back to Trivia Land. You two continue to talk about food.
We do. I mean, it's all about the food.
So much food. But I want to talk about boats.
Okay.
So that's why...
Where did this come from? Because the cruise? You were thinking about boats?
Yes, he was talking about the cruise.
I said that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, it's been a long time when we were talking about food.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yes, because we're going
on
the cruise.
We won't talk about the fact that we recorded in the park the food episode.
Oh,
and we are no longer
in
the parks now.
Pause. We forgot
spoilers,
to add
magic
something.
Magic spoilers.
Pause. We need to talk about the pretzel experiment. Because we recorded before we talked about the pretzel experiment.
Oh, you're right.
So what happened? What was the pretzel experiment?
So our final meal of the trip, we decided what could possibly go wrong when combining two of our favorite snacks together.
It was a snack hack,
if you will. We took the cheesy garlic pretzel bread and Bengal barbecue skewers. Which skewers did we did? I can't remember.
The Banyan? No. The
Bengal.
The sweet ones.
Yeah, the ones that are sweet. So it's
with
like
the sweet Zulu sauce.
The sweet Zulu sauce. So I think those are just called the Bengal barbecue.
Oh,
I think those are the Bengal skewers.
Anyways,
and we cut up the meat and we made our own sandwich. And I think we both came to the conclusion, while it was delicious, it was not our favorite way to eat those two favorite things in the park. We enjoy eating the garlic pretzel bread dipped in marinara sauce on its own. And we enjoy the Bengal beef skewers eaten on their own. So we like them better separately than we do together. We might be some of the few people that prefer it that way, because I know a lot of people on the internet are going crazy for this food hack and think it's like... super, super amazing.
I think it was too much savory.
It was too much savory for us because both of us, after we had it, said, maybe if we would have gotten a jungle julep. You know what? The Disney
That's
gods
true.
Were trying to tell me to order a jungle julep, but I said no. Maybe if we would have washed it down with a jungle
maybe.
Julep, that would have helped balance. But it was like
overload
savory.
We did wash it down
savory.
With two Matterhorn macaroons.
Yeah, we did have two Matterhorn macaroons at the end of the night to... be one of the final things we did in the park before heading out. But yeah, so
I mean, it was good.
It was good, but also disappointing. I don't think I would do it again. I don't think I would either.
You also mentioned as we were eating the pretzel thing that it tasted better with the marinara sauce.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't do marinara with the skewer. That would be weird.
I do think I'd probably I'd eat them in the same meal, but just not together. Does that make sense?
No,
I'd
totally.
Have the pretzel bread off to the side with the skewers, but not all together.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Sorry,
still delicious.
James.
Still delicious. I highly recommend it. If savory is like super, super, super your jam, this was like overload savory. Tons
also,
of savory flavors all coming at you all at once.
Get an extra side of sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Because we use the extra sauce. Yeah. All right, James. Sorry. Trivia Land.
No, that's okay. You got to talk about the food. It makes sense. But in Trivia Land, we do trivia. And today we're doing boats.
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 Is there a boat ride in Trivia Land?
There should be.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be like the Jungle Cruise, but with trivia.
Okay.
I think this is a good concept. We might run with this. But I got four questions. Let's go back through them. So first question I asked you was to name the Disneyland Resort attractions that use boats. I don't mean rafts. I don't mean submarines. I mean boats. And you caught on to my trick that there are no boats over in TCA. But the boat rides I was looking for, It's a Small World, Peter Pan's Flight, Storybook Land Canal Boats, Mark Twain, Sailing Ship Columbia, Jungle Cruise, Pirates of the Caribbean, Davy Crockett's Explorer Canoes, and Donald's Boat.
Oh, we forgot about Donald's Boat.
I don't really count that as an attraction. I mean, I guess that is an attraction.
It's an attraction.
All right.
Listed as an attraction in the app.
All right.
Donald's Boat. It's in the title. It's called Boat.
We even went over and looked at Donald's leaky boat right before we got a flop over, I think, or around the time we got a flop over.
Yeah, we did.
And when we were talking about creating boats, you're like, Disneyland doesn't have barges people ride. The Storybook Land Canal Boats are technically barges in their official title. So,
really?
Even though they're called the Storybook Land Canal Boat?
technically, they're barges.
Interesting.
Yeah. Or previously, the canal boats of the world, wasn't that what they were called
before?
But
still, boats, not barges.
I'm not a boat expert, so I could be very wrong with that, too, and I could be wrong with my boat classification, but
happens. Our weekly tiers will let you know.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, James.
It's all in good fun, so that's the joy. Mm-hmm. Second question. Davy Crockett's Explorer Canoes opened under a different name when it first started. For the first 15 years, what was it called? Tag, you are right. The Indian War Canoes. Ooh. So good job, Teresa, for getting that one right, too.
We helped each other this week.
You did. The third question, true or false, 50-50 shot. If the doors on the buildings in Storybook Land Canal Boats have hinges and can open, it's true. They do. They're tiny little hinges that let the doors open.
Come on, the details.
There's so many details on that attraction. It is incredible.
Honestly, there's like the boats go too fast that you can't really appreciate all of the details of the tiny miniature sets.
Not to mention the Casey Jr. Circus train.
Mm-hmm.
Zip it around.
Mm-hmm. Easy to get distracted. Final question this week. Weird Al wrote a parody song about a cast member on one of these nautical-themed attractions. Which one? Extra smiles for me if you can tell me the song name.
Cast member.
Yep. So it is, in fact, about the Jungle Cruise.
Woohoo!
The song is called Skipper Dan.
Awesome.
I read a rumor online that they might even put Skipper Dan on some of their life vests now as something that goes in and out. So,
oh, that's funny.
But I couldn't find that one anywhere for sure. But I love the idea that that could be it.
So do we get a half point for that? Half credit?
Oh, no. You got the attraction right. That's all I was looking for. You just don't get smiles.
Oh, okay.
4 out of 4 this week for the two of you. Must mean some smooth sailing in the future for us. So...
Do you hear this, like, punny guy over there?
That's why he lives in trivia.
By the way, good job, Teresa.
This is why we need a Jungle Cruise themed trivia attraction, obviously. Mm-hmm. So it will be great when it happens. And you know it'll make it better? Listener submitted questions. You have ideas for questions that we can use to ask TNT? You can find a submission form on our website. You go to dlweekly.net/trivia and send it on to us.
Teresa will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
And a special thank you to Sidel for editing the podcast.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In 2 clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Listen up, people. Over the years, I've learned how important hydration is in my workouts and everyday life. It's the key to helping my body move, recover, and just have a good time when I'm exercising and staying active. Things go even better when I'm well hydrated before I even start moving. Noon Hydration doesn't want you to wait to hydrate. They want you to start hydrated. Noon Sport Hydration Tablets hydrate better than water alone. Just drop them in your water, dissolve, and enjoy. They contain 5 essential electrolytes and come in crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade, lemon lime, and many more. They also have non-GMO vegan and gluten-free ingredients and only 1 gram of sugar. Noon hydrates you so you can do more, go further, and recover faster. And that means you can have a heck of a lot more fun. Since hydrated humans have the most fun, head over to shop now on noonlife.com and pick some up today so you're ready for anything, because anything can happen after noon.
It's okay if you aren't ready for kids right now. It's okay if you don't want to be a mom now or even ever. It's nobody's decision but yours. But do you know what's not okay? Not knowing how effective your birth control is. Talk to your doctor about effective birth control options so you can make an informed decision. Tap to learn more.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.